तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति
शान्ति शान्ति।
विचार चैप्टर 7 वर्सेस 11 टू 15। चैप्टर 7 वर्सेस 11 टू 15। बलं बलवतामस्मि बलं बलवतामस्मि कामरागविवर्जितं कामरागविवर्जितं धर्माविरुद्धो भूतेषु धर्माविरुद्धो भूतेषु कामोऽस्मि भरतर्षभ कामोऽस्मि भरतर्षभ बलं बलवतामस्मि कामरागविवर्जितं धर्माविरुद्धो भूतेषु कामोऽस्मि भरतर्षभ। ये चैव सात्विका भावाः ये चैव सात्विका भावाः राजसास्तामसाश्च ये राजसास्तामसाश्च ये मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि नत्वहं तेषु ते मयि नत्वहं तेषु ते मयि। ये चैव सात्विका भावाः राजसास्तामसाश्च ये मत्त एवेति तान् विद्धि नत्वहं तेषु ते मयि। त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेव्यः परमव्ययम् मामेव्यः परमव्ययम्। त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेव्यः परमव्ययम्। दैवी एषा गुणमयी दैवी एषा गुणमयी मम माया दुरत्यया मम माया दुरत्यया मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मायामेतां तरत्तिते मायामेतां तरत्तिते। दैवी एषा गुणमयी मम माया दुरत्यया मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मायामेतां तरत्तिते। न मां दुष्कृतिनो मूढाः न मां दुष्कृतिनो मूढाः प्रपद्यन्ते न राधमाः प्रपद्यन्ते न राधमाः मायया पवितज्ञानाः मायया पवितज्ञानाः आसुरं भावमाश्रिताः आसुरं भावमाश्रिताः। न मां दुष्कृतिनो मूढाः प्रपद्यन्ते न राधमाः मायया पवितज्ञानाः आसुरं भावमाश्रिताः। The beginning of this chapter, Jnana Vijnana Yoga, chapter 7, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, I will talk to you both, I will give you both knowledge as well as wisdom. Knowledge is that which is got from outside. Knowledge is that which is got from the past. Wisdom is that which is got from within, not from outside. Wisdom is that which is got in the present. It's to do with knowledge translated into action in the present. So he says, I will give you both knowledge and wisdom. So he says, in fact, strictly speaking, only knowledge can be given. Wisdom cannot be given. Guru can only give us information, which is knowledge, tuition. He cannot give us transformation. He cannot give us intuition. But Krishna here says, I will give you both knowledge as well as wisdom. In the sense, I will give you the knowledge in such a way that it will make you look within. It will make you look within. In other words, I will make the knowledge like a mirror, which will immediately make you look what is wrong with me. You know, when you look at the mirror, you are immediately seeing your own personality. So I will present it in such a way that you will be able to go deeper. And also he says that knowledge pertaining to the lower aspects of Brahman I will give it to you, and I will also explain to you the higher aspect of Brahman, which is wisdom, which is the real self. Having said this, he says, among thousands of men, meaning out of so many beings, very rarely a person is interested in the wisdom. First of all, very few people are interested in this knowledge. Because studying this knowledge, all they will be thinking is it going to give me a job? Will it make me survive in this world? How is it going to help me make my living? So it will only talk about, will it make me, people only be interested in, will it help me to make a living, you know? So he says, very few people are interested in this knowledge. Even in the academy, when we talk about a 3-year course, and we say eligibility criteria, it is someone who is around 17, who has done his class 12 at least, got little maturity. And English knowledge a little bit should be there, for example, so much communication in English. Other than that, a deep interest in this subject. Then you can join the ashram. After Swamiji's interview. But parents immediately get perturbed if any child wants to join. If a son, boy or girl who is at the age of 17, 18 wants to join, immediately they get perturbed. And if at all they allow, they say, okay, after they enter the course, do they give certificate? And is that certificate recognized by some university? Because all that they are concerned is making a living. If you get rid of that test, all that, and then come to say, okay, let me study. How many of us really want to go beyond knowledge and gain wisdom? We look at this knowledge as some information, which is good for our life, but we don't go deep into the information and try to dissolve the ego and experience the bliss that this knowledge can bring, that clarity that this knowledge can give us, that wisdom. For that, we need to dissolve our ego. No, I want to keep myself and enjoy the information. This is all among thousands of people. Rarely a person wants this knowledge. All those who strive for this knowledge, rarely a person goes to the wisdom. And then he says, who finds me? Very rarely a person finds me. Meaning his own true self. And then he explains the lower aspect and the higher aspect. He says the lower aspect of Brahman, the lower aspect of reality, is composed of 8. They are Bhumi, Apa, Anada, Vayu, Kam, Mano, Buddhi, Ahanka. Bhumi, earth. So earth, water, fire, air, space, mind, intellect, ego. All these 8 put together is my lower nature. Remember, Lord Krishna is not talking as Mr. Krishna here. He is talking as Ishvara, the Lord. So the lower aspect of Brahman is the 8 of these things. That is earth, water, fire, air, space, mind, intellect, ego. Beyond this, there exists another higher aspect. The higher aspect is the self, the enlivening pure consciousness. Pure consciousness, beyond that there is nothing. So he says in verse number 6, he says, put together, the lower aspect and the higher aspect coming together brings out various beings, the creation. Here the lower aspects, that Bhumi that he talks about, Apa, Anala, Vayu, Kam, all this he is talking about the five elements. He is not talking about the gross elements. The gross elements are not the pure elements. Like for example, if you take the gross earth, it has two components of fire in it, temperature, little component of water in it, little component of air in it, little component of space in it. But the pure earth, which has no other element in it, like that, the pure earth, pure water, pure fire, pure air, pure space, and the mind, intellect, ego, the subtle body, all this put together, when they come together, implemented by the Atma, the self, it brings out various creations, various beings, the variety of beings. Then he says, O Dhananjaya, O winner of wealth, O Arjuna, there is nothing higher than me. I am in this world, but you are not able to see me, just like how in a mala, the gems are beautifully strung, right? But all this is held by the string, which is passing through the beads. And the beads are so tight that you hardly see the string. You only see the mala, the garland. But the beads, the garland made of beads is holding on because of the string. If the string is pulled, the garland is finished. So he says, Sutre Manigana, just like how the string is passing through the beads and you don't have the vision of the string, this higher aspect, hardly anybody is identifying it. Everybody is lost in the lower prakriti. Hardly anybody identifies with the higher. So it is Ananjaya, winner of wealth, meaning you have conquered many gems, but you have lost the string. In other words, Mithya ko pakad liya, Satya ko chod liya. Please understand, Mithya is dependent on Satya. Satya is not dependent on Mithya. Right? The projection is dependent on the reality. Reality is not dependent on the projection. Ornament is dependent upon the gold. Gold is not dependent on the ornament. You destroy the ornament, gold remains.
Yes.
But without gold, there can be no ornament. So, in this example, ornament would be Nitya, gold would be Satya. Similarly, the rows of gems, the lower aspects, is equated to the gems. All these lower aspects are strung together, like electricity passing through the bulb, envelops the bulb and the light is expressed. But if you see the bulb, you will see the bulb glowing, everything, but you will never see the electricity. You will have to infer the electricity from the expression. But there also we may make a mistake. You will see the 0 watt bulb or 10 watt bulb and think that this much only is the power of electricity. It is nothing to do with the electricity. It is to do with the bulb. Wattage. If you remove that bulb 0 watts and then put 1000 watts bulb, same electricity is now going to give you brilliant expression. Right? So therefore, he says, you've got to basically, he says, I'll give you wisdom, meaning he speaks words in such a way that if you tune into his words, you will lose focus on the surface and you'll start focusing on the depth. That's the idea. A beautiful Ganesha made of wood. Made of wood. Right? When you see the wood, you don't see the Ganesha. When you see Ganesha, you don't see the wood. So when Krishna said, I will give you both knowledge and wisdom, I will speak to you the language of the Upanishads, which is trying to communicate the inexpressible, inexplicable Atman. Because words are gross. Atma is subtle. Subtle cannot be brought out by the gross. For example, even in movies, when they have to emote, it becomes very difficult. Right? When you have deep love to someone, with someone, you have to express the grief because they have lost somebody very near and dear, and this person is very close to you, he has lost his dad, let us say. You go and you don't express anything, you sit there. Words cannot bring the depth of the emotion. Right? Surface things words can communicate. The deeper the emotions, words fail to communicate. The subtlest is Atma. He cannot bring it out in words. But he says, I will speak the language of the Upanishads, which almost expresses it. I'll put it to you so deep that the words, the word play will make you see the undercurrent, not the surface. And then he goes on to explain. Verse number 8, he said, O Kaunteya, and sapidity in waters. In other words, when we see water, we are all lost in the water, the waves, the color, etc. He says, no.
Which chapter?
Chapter 7, verse 8.
8.
So he says, O Kaunteya, I am the sapidity in waters. The water body, which has various states, you know, but seeing them, you don't recognize it. You have to drink, and each water source has different taste. And that is it. And the sapidity in water, the essence. In other words, surface chodke, andar ja. See, it's like, when you go to this places there, they have this water sports. You know? Lot of places where they have lot of water sports and games. Now, you do not want to get wet, yet you want to go through that enjoyment. It's not possible. Isn't it? Now, little bit you say, no, I am not coming, you will go. A little bit your pants will get wet, this will get... Then slowly you say, I have a helmet on this. And you just get it. Right? And once you get it, that enjoyment, any number of people you may see having fun, you don't get the same enjoyment. You got to dwell into it. See the difference between entertainment, the joy that you get from entertainment, and the joy that the entertainer gets, there is a difference. That is the point. See, the person who is performing, right? He is in totally different realm of joy compared to the joy that you get. You are standing out. He is standing in it. Right? So like that he says, O Kaunteya, and the sapidity in waters. Surface chodke under. Then and the radiance in sun and moon. If you think the sun and moon are brilliant, moon is the direct source of light, sun direct source of light. That radiance in sun is me. In other words, you take away the essence, a thing will not be what it is without it, and that is me. Like the string, if it is pulled out, it won't be a garland anymore. Right? What is maintaining it? That's me. But you don't see it. So he says that pranava in Vedas, and the pranava mantra om in Vedas. When you chant om, the sound emanates from the navi. It strikes like a hammer at the base of your kundalini, and the kundalini gets jagrat, awakens. The life force awakens towards sahasrara. You understand? So he says that pranava mantra is not a, it doesn't have any meaning. It's not a word, it's a sound. And that sound encompasses the entire range of sound. And when it's chanted correctly, it strikes you and enables life force to rise above. And when Kundalini starts rising above towards Sahasrara and when it reaches Sahasrara, you realize the self. I am the Pranava Om. We get lost in the words, the meaning. Even when we study Veda, we are more interested in the meanings. In the Upanishads, especially in Kera Upanishad, he says, it is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. Now, if you understand this statement, will you be interested in taking notes?
Yes.
No, think about it. Just think, I'm not saying you should not.
I say if you understand it, meaning it's better to understand it.
What is the statement saying? The Upanishadic statement says, it's talking about reality. In Kero Upanishad. It is not what you people hear. It is what makes you hear. When you take notes, what are you taking notes of?
What you hear. What you are hearing.
What you are hearing. So your, all your notes are all what?
Yes, it is.
Not Brahman. So you cannot capture Brahman in words. So he very beautifully says, it is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. And yet we are noting them. Same thing. It is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. And then the explanations. All that you hear is not Brahman. All that you hear is garbage. In fact, in one of the Tamil slokas, it talks about the scriptures as Tattva Kuppai. Tattva Kuppai means philosophical waste, garbage.
If you get stuck in it, otherwise...
No, what I'm trying to say is, you got to use the words and go beyond. I already gave you the example of Pitambara. When I say Pitambara, what comes to your mind?
Krishna.
But what is the exact translation of the word Pitambara?
Yellow
cloth. When I talked about yellow cloth, you are not thinking about yellow cloth. You are thinking about the wearer of the yellow cloth, which is Lord Krishna.
What does it imply to you?
Exactly.
What does it mean to you?
So the Veda, if you go by the words of the Veda, you miss the point.
And you get stuck on.
You miss the point. You are not stuck with the knowledge. You will never go to wisdom. You will get stuck with the lower aspect. You will never go to the higher aspect. Therefore, some of the masters, they say, don't take notes. Then you say, how is it possible? For them, they say, all you need to do is
understand.
Go and practice. Not even forget about it. Go and practice Dhamma. Go and practice Shama. Dhamma means sense control. Shama means mind control. Dhamma, Shama. Asana, Prayama, Pratyahara. Then come to Dharana. Then Dhyana Samadhi. And in between, when they talked about the disciplines, they also emphasize about reading, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. But before you come to Shravana, first make sure you practice Dhamma. Sense control. Then Shama. When you practice Dhamma and Shama, and then come to Shravana. Shravana means hearing. Then you will not be needed to take notes. The very words, very sound that you hear, the master is speaking or chanting, that is doing something inside you. Why? Because inside you are purified. Then you are able to focus on what makes you hear. Otherwise, you are only interested in what you are hearing.
Yes.
Therefore the master says, instead of wasting your time in taking notes, put in that time usefully in doing Dhamma and Shama. Then you will go beyond what you heard. Shrutivi Pratipannate, said Lord Krishna in the second chapter we studied, going beyond what you heard. That means what? Going to what made you hear the truth. Right? So he says, that pranava om in all Vedas. Then space, sorry, sound in space. When you look at the space, sound is not there. But sound travels in space. I am speaking now. The sound that I am making is reaching your ear. It's traveling in space. And if you have not heard, you are somewhere long distance, you are away from me. You have not heard. Where has the sound gone into?
Space.
Space. All these sounds are captured in space. And the space is returning the karma back to you according to the vibrations. The subtle sound is the thought. So if you really think about it, you understand that these sounds are not lost. What goes around comes back. Therefore, I might as well make positive sounds.
Thoughts is some.
Thoughts are nothing but subtle sounds.
It's subtle sounds.
Words, before they become words, they were in thought form. Huh? So what is thought? Thoughts are nothing but subtle sounds. That is why they say, you better vibrate with positive thoughts. So that is why we say, even to a person who is having negative thoughts towards you, you have positive thoughts. In fact, that is where the difficulty comes. Those who have positive thoughts for you, you have positive thoughts, no big deal. Right? So if you understand spirituality, you have no choice but to be forgiving. But to be forgiving and but to be giving. You have no choice. So he says, sound in space, in sound, the sound is there in space that you cannot see. Sound fills the space. And then he says, manhood is there, meaning paurusham rishu, the purushatvam. Men come, men go. Human beings come, human beings go. But the purushatvam continues. Right? The entire creation, so many modifications that you see, is all the efforts of beings. The Purushatvam continues, that which is eternal, going on, focus on that. Don't focus on the passing, fleeting things. That's what Krishna is saying. If you do this, you'll get Brahman. Instead, no, I've done 6th chapter, now I want to study 7th chapter, then I want to go to 8th chapter. I hope you will only do it, no? You are only interested in the words. So he says, no. What is important is, here and now, as I'm speaking, you can jump. But no, I don't want to jump. If I jump, I'll miss all this. Vedanta is not interested in that. Then he says, I'm the sweet fragrance in earth. Punyo Gandha Prithivi. I'm the sweet fragrance. In earth, there is fragrance. And he puts it, he qualifies it by saying Punya Gandha. See, our body is nothing but earth. Right? In our mind, which is within the body, if negative thoughts, lustful thoughts are there, then the life force is moving downwards. Then the perspiration that comes from the body is not Punya Gandha. It is said that people like Mahavir, the smell that comes out of their body was like sandalwood paste smelling. Because of purification. So that is me. The pure fragrance is me. In that you can see me. Not in the... See, in other words, Brahman is everywhere. So will it not be in the Apunya Gandha? He is explaining it like this. So I am the sweet fragrance in earth. When the dirt, vasanas are removed, what remains is the purity. Then the brilliance in fire.
But what you just said, am I not in the impure fragrance?
No, but then,
yeah.
See, the impure fragrance, the impurity is coming from the other things that is added. When there is no otherness, then that
it is pure, earth,
which is
pure.
Without otherness, that is me. The other thing is all
addition.
Addition. Like you said, pure gold. Pure gold means what? Usme copper nahi.
How many carats? So be.
Right. So if you say it is then little bit copper added, that means to that extent it is impure. You may say, no problem, even then I will take it. Because everything is free to me. Even if it is impure gold, very little copper is there, no problem, I will take it. But as far as the material is concerned, it is impure, because little copper otherness is added to it. Then the belief in fire. He is covering all the elements. Bhumi, apa, anala, kama. Vayu is not said, but you have added. So he is saying in all this, don't get lost in the expression. See the thing within the expression. Then you can get it. See, when you go to a master, you are lost in the expression. He says, don't look at the expression. Look at the self within. The expression is coming from that. You got to focus on the things which are inside, not outside. Right? But today the whole world is talking about packaging. It's all about packaging. Other Kayam says, they talk about and about. I came out of the same door I went in. They talk about and about. I came out of the same door I went in. Meaning what is
the same door that you come in?
Going on talking around in circles. Right? They are all lost in words. They are all repeating. Nothing. I went out and came out. It's one meaning. Other is, the way you came into this samsara, you retreat, same way you get up, but retreat. I told you, slow cycling, reverse cycling, dhara, radhana, recollect this. Going backwards, retreating, that is the idea, but we want to run forward. The whole idea is retreating backwards, pulling, pulling, pulling. So he says, I am the life in all beings. The very life enlivening principle in the beings, from where the expressions come. Then I am the austerity in ascetics. See, austerity in ascetics. I am the tapa in tapasvins. The tapa, when we take into fasting and stop talking, standing on one leg, etc., etc. These are all external. The real tapa is what?
Mind control.
Nothing but samatvam. I am the samatvam in the tapasvis. See, we very often say, oh, you can stay without food for 2 years. What a great tapasvi. Many times out of ego also, you can stay without food for many days. To prove who is more, who is a greater tapasvi. Right? Are they really tapasvis? Tapas when you do, the ego should be dissolved. See, for example, Hiranyakashipu did great tapas. After doing great tapas, he got that boom. Right? But he was hardly in samatva. So he said, I am the tapas in tapasvi. The ascetics, they have this austerity, which is what? To be able to be balanced both in dukkha and sukha. Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha, sukeshu vijatastuhaha, vitara vayakrodaha, itadhi muniruchyate. And that tapas. And then the next verse it says, Bijam maam sarva bhutanam vitti partha sanatanam buddhir buddhi matapati tejas tejas vinam. O Partha, O Arjuna, know me as the eternal seed of all beings. The eternal seed of all beings.
Which chapter? Which verse?
Verse 7, sorry, verse 10, chapter 8. Chapter 7.
Yeah.
You are chapter 7, verse
7. Yeah, we are not 10.
Yeah.
7 I know, but...
Chapter 7 verse 10. O Partha, know me as the eternal seed of all beings. The eternal seed means what? The eternal seed for the entire dream world is sacred mind. The eternal seed for all the waves is ocean. Likewise, I am that eternal seed. The wave, due to various momentum, has become the wave. It perishes. And again the momentum picks up, again the wave comes. Again the momentum picks up, again the wave comes. But all these waves could not come if there was no ocean. I am the substratum. So when he talks about bijam maam, sarva bhutanam, sanatanam bijam, meaning I am the substratum. Behind all activities, now we think I am the doer, I am the karta, but actually the piche hai, jo substratum. When I understand that, what happens? When I understand this indicator that Lord Krishna is trying to give this pointer, I understand that I am not the karta. I get a larger picture. From the larger picture, I am nothing. Today, if I drop dead, will the world stop functioning?
No.
So is the world functioning because of me or in spite of me?
In spite of me.
In spite of me. So he says, Bijam maam sarva bhutanam vittipartha sanatanam. So once I understand that, then what happens as a natural consequence of that is automatically I'll have the attitude of a spoke in the wheel. I'm a spoke in the wheel. The role I may play may be of a king, may be of a soldier, may be of an ordinary citizen, whatever it might be. Right? I will understand bijam maam sarva bhutanam vittipartha sanatanam, that sanatana, that substratum, the entire world is held on by that Brahman. It is the same Brahman that has manifested itself as this world. Right? The seed for the snake is the rope. If the rope wasn't there, snake would not have been projected. Right. Snake came from another snake. That another snake came from another snake. Like that, if you trace so many snakes, who's my father, 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 first father. But all this came because of the waker mind in the dream. Because of the rope, with reference to the rope and snake example. Right? Rope was there. It was not seen as a rope. The snake was projected upon it. So what is the substratum of the rope? I'm sorry, substratum of the snake? The rope. Then once I understand that, while I am functioning, I will not have kartritva. I will not have bhoktritva. I will accept whatever result comes. I will not try to say, my way is highway. I will not say my way is highway. Like Jesus Christ, and I will start saying, what will I say? Thy will be done, not my will be done. So this is what he is saying. If you listen to his words carefully, this attitude will come in your life. When this attitude will come in your life while you are functioning, you have got wisdom. Even if you have not been able to repeat these verses, doesn't matter. As far as Lord Krishna is concerned, you are his shishya. The other fellow who is able to repeat his verses backwards and forwards but hasn't developed his attitude from this pointer, he has not gone to the depth. So the moment I know that Brahman is a substratum, then will I have the sense of indispensability? Kya farak padta? Today if I drop dead, nothing will happen to the world. It will continue. Huh? Already they started talking about Obama losing his
compass.
Obama losing his
presidency.
Huh? He is still the president. He cannot be taken away from that now. But there is some election going on and he is already lost. So now they are saying he will not be as powerful as he is. As you are, you understand? Already on the way out. I'm giving the example of Obama because the president of America. You understand? The so-called superpower. You understand? That person itself, holding it wrong, he said, you think without you the world will not continue. Nature keeps on reminding you, you are nothing. You're nothing. So he says, Upata, Bhumi as the eternal seed of all beings. Then he gives another beautiful pointer. He says, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Buddhir Buddhimatamasmi. This Buddhir Buddhimatamasmi needs to be understood correctly. Buddhihi, intelligence, a lot of times we think it is filling ourselves with information. See, you think you are rich and therefore you have a big house, and in big houses you go, you have so many stuff. Which means what? You say, what a spacious room. But will it be a spacious room?
If you fill it up.
But what are you doing? Oh, this I got from Bangkok as a souvenir, and I came back. I need something. This I got from London. And what do you do? Put something on the wall and then put it there. You are filling it up. Actually, such huge rooms, hardly any space. Right? So, the moment all the unnecessary attachments are taken away, what happens? You see space. You understand? Unnecessary attachments gone, you create space as it will. Similarly, he is saying here, intelligence, and he says, I'm intelligent in the intelligent. He is not talking about stuffing your intelligence, your intellect with information. Then it is like filling the room with lot of attachments. Now when all the stuffing is gone, you're not identifying with the past, you remain in the present, and in the present you function. You know? One intelligent man was there in a kingdom, and the king wanted to test his intelligence. So, he was a very wise man, elderly man. The king wanted to test his intelligence. So he said, I'm keeping something inside my coat. He actually had a bird inside my coat. Tell me, is it something which is living or dead? I have something inside me. Is that living or dead? Immediately, the very question, the intelligent man understood that he is having something living inside. If I said it is living, he will put his hand inside, he will kill it and bring it out dead, just to prove me wrong. Right? If I said it is dead, he will take it as it is. So he understood that. So he did not want to prove his intelligence unnecessarily and kill that
innocent
creature. Therefore he said, I know what you will do. If I said it is alive, you will kill it and bring it out. If I said dead, you will bring it out alive. So I might as well say that it is dead and you can prove me wrong, but you will bring out the creature alive. This is called intelligence. So this no university can teach you. This no university can teach you. You understand? You know, they will give you data. Right? You go to universities. They'll give you data. This is what they did in that company, this is what they did in that family. In this family, this business was conducted this way, and this is what happened. You understand? They have very good source of information, collection of data. But you go and collect all that. You come back with all that. That alone is not going to help. With that, you digested it. Once you have digested it, in the context relevant, there you got to put it. But if your room is full, from there the clarity will surface. We are all filling our brains with information. We are interested in length, not in the depth. So when he said, and the intelligence in the intelligent, he's talking about the clarity. The clarity surfaces when all the cobwebs are cleared. And these informations are nothing but cobwebs. And then the splendor of the splendid. Tejas, Tejas Vinama. The Tejas is not something that you see externally that he's talking about. See, when a person burns all his ego, he has become one with the light body, the consciousness, as it were. The tejas of the consciousness that he is talking about. The burning consciousness within. You understand? In fact, when all your personality is purified, when you see somebody, you say, my God, this seems to be some tejas in it. What is that? Is it coming from the body? It's not coming from the body, it's coming from inside. That Tejas. So basically in all this, all that is trying to do is what? Go with it. Next verse. Balam Balavata Masmihi. Balam Balavata Masmihi. Kamaraga Vivarchitam. Kamaraga Vivarchitam. Dharma Virudho Bhuteshu. Dharma Virudho Bhuteshu. Kamosmi Bharata Rishabha. Kamosmi Bharata Rishabha. Balam Balavata Masmihi. Kamaraga Vivarchitam. Dharma Virudho Bhuteshu. Kamosmi Bharata Rishabha. Very interesting pointer he gives here. It is Palam Palavatam Asmi Kama Raga Vibharjitam. I am the strength in the strong, devoid of desires, devoid of Kama. And the strength of the strong, devoid of desire and attachment, Raga. In being, then next line, Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatrishad. Very interesting. Apparently contradictory he says in the second line to what he said in the first line. First line he says, I am the strength in the strong, devoid of desire and attachment. So devoid of desire. Next line he said, I am the very desire.
Which is not contrary.
But he qualifies it by saying, that desire which is not contrary to Dharma.
Didn't understand.
Of course you will not. Just read the translation. So he says, what is he saying? First, let's go through the first line. I'm the strength of the strong. What is the real strength?
Self-control.
Who is strong?
You don't show your strength.
Someone who is not dependent on anything is really strong. Because the moment you become dependent, to that extent fear comes.
Yeah.
Isn't it? To that extent. You have nothing to lose. So the real, the strength of the strong who is devoid of desire and attachment, kama raga. Which means what? Atma. The real strength comes from Atma. I told you in many of my classes, your strength should not come from your talents. It should come from within. There is nothing wrong in using your talents. You understand? If you have earned it for a practical purpose, when it is needed, use it. But the strength should not come from that. If it's coming from that, you are not really strong. Believe me. Then all the empire that you have created, all you have acquired from your family. Right? One day will be taken. Either you will go before that, or that will be taken before you. Will you be able to go to sleep peacefully? You understand? That strength he is talking about. See, one of the names, not one of the names, the real name he came to be known as later on was Mahavir. But his original name is Vardhaman. Why is he called as Mahavir? He is not gone and fought any battle. Has he fought any battle? Has he killed so many people?
He conquered himself.
He had no fear that anything could kill me. See, inferior, when a person has inferiority complex, he shouts. Why? Because he wants to show, he wants to prove that he is strong. You understand? His real strength is not there. So he wants to show. Right? He wants to show that he is strong. He is trying to dominate. right? But when you don't dominate, you have the capacity, but you do not dominate, you have the real strength. Because you know that, you remember that verse we studied in second chapter, Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, na chainam kledayantyapaha, na shoshati na marutaha. Weapons do not leave me. Fire does not burn me. Water does not wet me. Wind does not blow me. I am the Atma. You cannot kill me. I have no insecure feeling. There was no fear. Because I know anything gross cannot affect me, the subtle. So I am the strongest. You can go on harming me, but I don't get affected. The moment you react, but if you do not have any reactions, all the disturbance that the world creates are the strongest. You understand? That strength is talking about. And the strength in the strong, meaning independent. You, if you put all your trust on the satya and not on the mithya, and you become independent, the more and more independent you become strong. The less and less independent you are, you are weak. So many, they pull the string this side, you do not. You have invested in stock market, but your life is not dependent on the outcome of that, let us say. No problem. Otherwise, sense goes up, you are excited. Sense goes down, you are finished. That ability to be independent, that is the strength. The moment you have desire and attachment, you cannot have that. Because what is desire? What is raga?
Losing control.
I told you, the flow from you to the world outside is called dhara, raga. That is desire. Right?
Mm.
If you can divert that flow from you to the Atma within, instead of from you to the world, then it becomes Radha, and that is desire, which is not contrary to Dharma. I'll explain that second line, coming slowly to the second line. So the moment you have thoughts running towards the outside world, that means you are dependent. For example, we are conducting these classes. Supposing I become dependent on these classes, then I am concerned about the opinions. Oh, do they say this class is nice? Do they say the class is not nice? How many are coming? How many are not coming today?
Mm.
In the sense, what will happen if they go to some other classes? What will happen to me? You understand? Then you can dictate terms to me. You got to be independent. That is real strength. Because you have no attachment. Even in the spiritual field, if you get attached, you are finished. You should be able to live as if everything is taken away from you. Even when everything is there. Right? Just be there and yet be not there. That is real strength. Like you take up a job, but you become dependent. The moment you become dependent, what happens? You have to say yes sir, no sir, three times yes sir. You've committed yourself. You live yourself in such a way, right? Then you have so many things. You got to pay for that, you got to pay for this. You've gone beyond, you've not controlled your desires. You did not learn to control your desires. So you've created a lifestyle which is
white elephant.
Like a white elephant. Then you need so many things dependent. So the job is very important. Then what happens? You become a slave. So you're not really strong. It appears you're strong, but you're sitting on a cardboard and it's pulled, you're finished. Are you with me? See, it's very interesting. The fellow says, I'm not interested, everybody says, please come, please come. You don't understand it. The moment you go up, there's a problem. You fulfill this condition. When you fulfill that condition, there's a next condition. Guru says, unconditioned. Many times when they give donations also, ye condition, ye condition, please take it. You want to give unconditional, give it unconditional. The moment there is a condition, then you are dictating terms. I cannot be the real strength. I am dependent on myself, not on you. Dependent on the truth. If truth thinks my causes work, it will give through somebody. The problem with you is you think you are giving. Every time you think you are giving, you think you are doing some spiritual action. You are not doing any spiritual action. The moment you think God is giving through you, then you are doing spiritual action. It's not just giving that makes it spiritual. So he says, I am the strength of the strong devoid of desire and attachment. The moment you have desire, you have hopes for future, attachment from the past, worries and anxieties, they pull you, they stress you, they strain you, you lose your strength. And all these things are not there, you walk free. No selfishness, no self-centeredness. I have no dependence, I don't, nothing, don't want anything. Should be your attitude. That can only come to the extent you have identified with the self within. Next he says, I am the desire which is not contrary to Dharma, the order of Vedas. The scripture, O Bharata Rishabha, O Bullamang Bharata. The Bharata race, which is interested only in the consciousness. Bhasi Rata, one who reveals the light of consciousness. And you are Bull, you are most powerful. You need to be powerful to be able to withstand the strength of desire and change the directional flow upward. Can anybody do it? If you are not strong? See, swimming with the current, everybody can. Swimming against the current.
Only the strong.
So he said, Dharma viruddho uteshu kamosti varatushu. I am the kama which is not contrary to Dharma. What is that? If you look at it one way, it is a desire for centralization. The desire for centralization is not desire for the world. And that desire is allowed in the scripture. And therefore, that is called as Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu Kamasmi. The Kama which is not against Dharma. But if you go a little deeper than that, of course this is what he is saying. If you go a little deeper than that, what he is saying, the Kama Vasana, what is Kama? The thoughts running from you to the world outside is called Kama. Right? Then what is happening? Do you really have a choice when the Kama has taken over? Like, for example, sometimes you say something out of anger. When anger has taken over you, possessed you, did you really have a choice? Similarly, when you were overpowered by desire, do you really have a choice? Especially when you have a credit card inside your pocket. What is happening nowadays? You have a credit card. And then you have the ego. First, when the credit card limit is less, you slowly go and fight with the fellow. My God, what have you done, man? Increase my limit. You go on increasing the limit. What you don't understand is, what is that doing to you? You increase your limit so much. Here you are, I have this much limit. How big fellow? He can borrow that much. That's what it means, na? The credit card limit is so high. It means you are such a big guy. You go out in the world. Right? And then our dear delights are often such, exposed to view, but not to touch. The sight of a foolish heart inflames, will long for penalty. With hopeless wish, one looks and lingers, because inside credit card nahi hai. Therefore, he looks and lingers. But they who, with hopeless wish, one looks and lingers. One breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. Credit card use karenge. And cuts his fingers. Usko pata nahi. Credit card use karne ke baad, wo pay karna. Which means what? Saap jaisa chal raha hai, waisa chalna chahiye. Usme koi bhi farak aayega. क्या होता है दुकान पे दुकान पे वाला आता है इंटरेस्ट चार्ज इंटरेस्ट चार्ज वाला आता है थोड़ा सा तेजस कम हो गया फेस में इजंट इट यू अंडरस्टैंड इट ऑल दैट इज ट्राइंग टू से हियर इज वेरी वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग सो इज इट धर्म विरुद्ध भूतेषु कामोस्मि भरतर्षि द काम when you run, when you allow the thoughts to run from you to the world outside, you are overpowered by the kama. Dharma viruddha means the kama which is under your control, meaning with awareness you direct your desire, then that desire is not against dharma. I am going to give you a very very interesting example, but it's little see the story of Mahabharata. When Vichitravira could not beget children, right? Sage Vyasa was brought. Through Sage Vyasa, children were born. You know the story. Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. Right. Sage Vyasa is the main reason for children to be born. Was he overpowered by Kama or Kama was under his control?
Kama was under his control.
That is Dharma Viruddho Bhuteshu Kamosmi Bharatarishala. You understand? So in any action, if the action is with awareness, then you are directing the desire. At any moment, if you want to stop it, you can stop it. Then that is not desire contrary to dharma. The desire underlined by awareness. In the other cases, no awareness, only desire. When a person is overpowered by lust, he goes and does something, greed, right? And he was not at all aware. That is contrary to dharma, because it was thought going outward. This is desire underlined by awareness. So any desire, even the grossest, you understand, the grossest act of lust, when it is underlined by awareness, it has the sanction of dharma.
Because it doesn't really touch the person.
Absolutely. So it is the awareness, you understand, he is controlling the desires. That is why they say Jesus Christ was born to Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary chose to give birth to Jesus. She is using the karma. All other births are ordinary births where the prakriti is used. You understand? Prakriti wants to perpetuate itself because it knows your body. It is prakriti is temporary, jaane wali. Usko propitiate, it wants to perpetuate itself. So what does it do? It creates through you. And when that prakriti wants to create through you, it takes you over. You have no choice. Are you with me? So therefore it says, ordinary births are all what? Kama overpowering birth. Birth like Jesus is where Kama was subdued and Kama was used, and a person like Jesus was born. Actually, even though the person went through the act, as far as the person is concerned, it did not touch, therefore they are pure. Do you understand what I am saying? That is why the scriptures are saying it's a miraculous birth. It's a very deep subject that he is talking about here. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu. So without ahankar, without ego, if you fight in the battlefield, you have no personal motive, but you killed many people, still it is dharma. Are you listening? Still it is dharma. This desire is not contrary to dharma. Why? The prakriti in you was used by you. The nature of a kshatriya, when a kshatriya functions with awareness, he uses it. He is not losing his temper and going and killing people. He doesn't have any personal motive, or he is not doing it out of delusion. Are you with me? This is very deep. We need to understand this correctly. So this is exactly what Krishna is trying to say. Krishna is called as Nitya Brahmachari, even though he had more than 16,000 wives. Are you with me? You may be actually a Brahmachari, but you cannot be called as Brahmachari. Why? Mentally you could have touched. Are you with me? See, you may go through contact physically, but mentally it did not touch you. Then it is dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamasya bhartarishu. If you are not physically contacted, but mentally it does, then that dharma, then that kama is not in line with dharma. Because उसमें awareness नहीं, mind is wandering. The wandering mind is different from the mind that is being led, driven. So that is what he is talking about here. It's a very deep thing that he is saying here. You have to understand it correctly. That's why I gave the example of Vyasa. So same thing is telling Arjuna. See, very often what happens when you are overpowered by lust, greed, like Duryodhan and all these people. Duryodhan is sitting and he wants to kill so many people. They killed Abhimanyu. When they killed Abhimanyu, huh? How they all celebrate. So many people get together and kill Abhimanyu and they are all celebrating. As if they have done something great. But all their conquest was driven by Kama. Many of our conquests are driven by passion, that desire. You understand? The desire is there, that burning within you. You go and conquer, you are not bothered. You understand? You want to establish a big industry. For that you need such a big place within the city. You have no problem in displacing so many people. Why? Your desire closes your eyes. You can't see all that. You understand? You will go and say, shall I let them on go to hell, doesn't matter. You bring down the whole thing because you want to get that. So when the desire is caught, is possessing you, then you go and conquer many things. That conquest is not sanctioned by scriptures. That conquest is not sanctioned by scriptures. What Lord Krishna said in the second chapter, if you fight keeping the welfare of the world and if you die in the battlefield, you get heaven. If you, meaning what? There is no personal lust. There is no personal motive here. For the welfare of the world. But if you win, then you enjoy the kingdom. If you die, you will still go to heaven. Because your action of killing is sanctioned by scriptures. Why? Because ahankar naita usme. The moment ahankar is there, then it gets qualified as paap or punya. It's one of the most fascinating portions in the Gita, especially this verse number 11. So you go to, and what is he saying? Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kama. And the kama in bhuta, which is not against dharma, which is not contrary to dharma. So it's not the action, it's the awareness with which you want. To the extent the awareness is there, then the desire is being directed, the nature within you. As a kshatriya, you may go and kill. You're not killing out of anger. You're not killing out of lust to conquer many things. Your energy is not coming from that. Are you with me? When you have some desire to go somewhere, you get up early morning without the alarm to catch the flight. What is pulling you? Your desire to go to that country. And you have so much of desire, and what happens? It makes you. It draws you. You do many things. Many obstacles. You say, chalo chalo, I want to get there anyhow. Somehow I have to get there. All the obstacles I will face and destroy. But what is driving you?
Desire.
Personal ambition. Desire. And that is against dharma. But when you have dissolved your ego in the total, then you allow the prakriti, the nature in you to function, then such actions are not led by desires, but actions were done by the Atma controlling the desires. This is what he is trying to say here. You understood that? So that is why I give you the example of Sri Srinivasa. He is given birth, but he is not touched.
Yeah, but those are high level people. What can you give an example for, say, normal life for us?
When you drink tea, you are drinking tea. I'm giving a very, very ordinary example. In fact, in Japan, I believe it's a big ritual. The guests come, serving tea is a big ritual. You drinking tea also is a big ritual. They said, how mindfully you drink.
Tea ceremony.
Now mindfully if you drink, then you don't develop any vasanas. That is called desire. So any desire that you have, when it is soaked in awareness, it's no more against dharma. So it's not that only things that are said in scriptures.
No, so
times change, new scripture will come and say something little different. You understand? If you go and read Manu Smriti, there are many things said, and the Smriti means it's only applicable to a certain time. Then when things change, thoda wo bhi change hoga. But even through all this, one which doesn't change is contacting with awareness. See, when you are driving in India, you have to keep to the left. When you are in US, right. Right? But in both, you have to have, you should be driving with alertness and awakening, awareness. This is what you need to understand. So desire is not the problem. Has it been underlined by awareness? That's the question.
No, like if you have desire, like to run a company, to make the company grow, how can you have this desire with awareness?
The growth will be an inclusive growth, not an exclusive growth. The products that you bring out, the growth will be with the growth of everybody who works in the organization, and the product also will be something which will be beneficial for the world outside. Otherwise, you couldn't get this.
Then it's okay.
Yeah, because your dharma, your nature is there to do business. Your swadharma, Krishna has already spoken about that, swadharma and all that. That nature, but you are letting it out, directing it with awareness. Then it is not against dharma. Otherwise, your whole thing is you want to make it big. So you couldn't get this. You understand? See, I mean, many things like this you can think about. Now, so many, we do not want to sacrifice little bit in our life. Therefore, what? I can't go, I can't go, I can't. So, all stored. So, it means everything comes in plastic containers. That much of plastic, you're putting it back into the system. You're not thinking, you're not having a larger picture. When you rise to the larger picture and direct your desires, then that desires are sanctioned by dharma. Because keeping the welfare of everyone. Otherwise, it is karma. I must make money. I must buy the best car. I do not have that car in the fleet of cars that I have. So therefore, what will you do? Run, 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 like a mad fellow. And get it. Do you think you are a conqueror? That's no big deal. Somewhere I read in Paralympics or somewhere, a competitor was coming first and he saw another competitor falling down.
Yeah,
you understand?
Good circuit.
Falling down. And this person was coming first. The person stopped and helped the other person, and then they completed the race
together.
Mm. Other person won in the meantime, but this person was specially awarded as well. Mm. You understand? Mm. Many of us run, don't know where. I see them get there. If you are doing business also the same way,
focus on what is important.
Yeah. If you also run your business the same way, then your desires are against the shastras. If you run the business in this way, then it is sanctioned by shastras. Let's continue.
Om Purnamidam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Manasendriyeva Buddhyatmanava Prakriteshwabhava Karomiyadhyaya Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.
Thank you.